When a violent crime takes place, DNA evidence is often collected from the scene. Law enforcement is not required to retain DNA evidence after someone is convicted, but there's a proposed law working its way through the state legislature which would change that. We want to know what that could mean for people wrongfully convicted of serious crimes. Lara Zarosky is policy director of the Innocence Project Pacific Northwest. Lara, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So why is the DNA evidence being tossed?
Well, right now, there are just no rules that mandate the preservation of biological material that may have been collected from a crime scene. So probably as a matter of course, before a conviction might happen, law enforcement would be in the practice of keeping that. But once they secure a conviction, there are no regulations that require them to keep it. And sometimes it's thrown away before it's ever tested.
Well, I could see where one could argue there's been a conviction. What do we need to keep it for?
Right. Well, all of those cases of wrongful conviction that we know of so far, 325 DNA exonerations nationally, at least four just through our project at Innocence Project Northwest for this state. All of those cases were cases where they were sure they got the right person, and it turned out through the evidence that they were wrong. So,
and you've got a couple of examples of that, Larry Davis and Larry Northrop?
Alan Northrop and Larry Davis of Clark County. That's a great example. They both served 17 and a half years for a sexual assault that they did not commit. And it was only through the preservation of the evidence in that case that we were able to have it tested and find the profiles of two unidentified males that left all that evidence at the crime scene. So that's how we know to a scientific certainty that our clients didn't do it and these other people did.
So how would this law change the situation for retention of DNA evidence?
Well, as I said, currently there are no laws at all. It is possible for a court to order the preservation of particular pieces of evidence. It's a very rarely used provision in the law. And this would provide for the automatic preservation in cases of serious violent crimes or sex offenses, the automatic preservation of certain pieces of evidence that contains biological material. So we're really just talking about pieces of evidence that have been prepared for scientific analysis, whether or not that testing ever actually went forward. So swabs, slides, cuttings from pieces of material, that sort of thing.
Lara Zarosky is with me. She's policy director for the Innocence Project Northwest. Now, we've talked a little bit about DNA evidence being exculpatory, getting people who've wrongfully been convicted out. But how about its possibility of being used to solve crimes?
Oh, well, absolutely. Well, in the first instance, you know, every case of wrongful conviction has a flip side. If you got the wrong person, that means that the actual perpetrator was never identified and was not brought to justice with relation to that case. And so this evidence really has the power not only to exonerate innocent people, but also to identify actual perpetrators. So there are good reasons on it, just in terms of general public policy, to preserve this evidence so that we can take advantage of it.
You're on one side of this, but what are the opponents of preserving DNA saying? What's their point?
Well, fortunately, there's not been a tremendous amount of philosophical opposition to the idea of keeping the evidence. There are some arguments that are made that it's useless in certain cases, that it doesn't have the power that that some imagine. But those are really specific examples. It would be difficult to articulate that particular position. The primary opposition has just been, where are we going to keep it all? So our original bill that we had introduced last year would have provided for the preservation of all biological material or items of evidence that may contain DNA. So in the age of touch DNA, pretty much anything, you can get a DNA profile from anything that a perpetrator touched, for example. And so this year's bill is really a narrowing of that to limit the amount of space that this evidence will take up and to lessen the burden on law enforcement.
Now, it would require that the DNA evidence be kept. That's one step. Mm-hmm. But unless it's tested somehow, unless you know what's in there, how can it be used at all? I mean, it seems as though you've got to get it all tested so the DNA evidence is logged somewhere. And when other DNA evidence comes up, you can match it.
Well, that's absolutely right. And unfortunately, we're not able to provide for the testing of all evidence within the confines of this bill. And just generally, it's considered a resource issue. I think that a common misconception that is out there is that because we're in this age of DNA where DNA is so powerful, that law enforcement always tests DNA evidence when they gather it. And that's simply not the case. It's a resource issue. And sometimes prosecutions, even in today, this day and age, prosecutions go forward where evidence is available, but it was never actually tested.
When you say resource issue, it's going to cost the police department money to get that evidence tested.
Absolutely.
And unless they're pointing towards a solution to it, they might not want to spend that money to just get that information in a database somewhere, even though it sounds like it could be very useful.
That's right. And, you know, in some, there have been some cases where the evidence was available and could have been tested, but there is a confession or there's an eyewitness identification or there's some other evidence that they feel is strong enough to go forward for trial and the evidence itself doesn't get tested. So we often find ourselves in the post-conviction world after they've been convicted, all of their appeals have been exhausted, and they're now looking for any avenue they can to establish their actual innocence. And in so many cases, this biological material from the crime scene is the only evidence that can do that. And so if we throw that away, then that person loses the only chance they could have to establish their actual innocence. And we as a society and as a system lose the only chance we could have to know the identity of the actual perpetrator.
Has this come up a lot when you at the Innocence Project have been working on a case? It's like, oh, we'll just get the DNA evidence and then you find out it's gone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In the most recent numbers that we have, we found that in about 36% of the cases that we had identified as viable DNA cases that we could have been able to tell if the person who's incarcerated was the actual perpetrator or not, in about 36% of those cases that we identified, the evidence had been lost or destroyed, most often destroyed.
Now, this sounds really similar to another law that went through the legislature, and maybe you know the status of it. It would require that all rape kits be tested. There are an estimated 6,000 rape kits just sitting out there, which have never been tested, and many states now are testing them and finding out they're serial rapists who they've been unable to detect before. What's the connection between this bill and that case?
Well, absolutely. The connection in the most basic sense is that the rape kits that are collected that are being tested, this backlog of rape kits, are considered biological material that would be covered under this bill. So those cases, those pieces of evidence or collections of evidence for those cases would be required to be preserved through the statute of limitations for the crime.
Laura Zarosky, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
She's policy director for the Innocence Project Northwest, and a proposal in the state legislature would require that most DNA evidence be preserved during someone's entire sentence for a violent crime. The bill has passed the House and now moves to the Senate. This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.